Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're about to take a deep dive into one of the biggest true crime cases in the universe. Or, at least, on our part of the planet. From the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
It was a warm August night in 1989 when the serene calm of Beverly Hills was shattered by gunfire. Inside their opulent mansion, Jose and Kitty Menendez lay dead, brutally gunned down in what seemed to be a ruthless act of violence. It was a crime that would shock the nation, eventually becoming one of the most talked-about cases of the 1990s. Their two sons, Lyle and Eric Menendez, initially appeared as grieving children, but within months, they were the prime suspects in their parents' murders. The Menendez brothers were convicted of first-degree murder in 1996 and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The sensational nature of the trial, televised for the entire country to witness, turned the brothers into household names. They confessed to the killings, but claimed they acted in self-defense after years of sexual abuse by their father, Jose Menendez, while their mother, Kitty, turned a blind eye. Now, after more than 30 years behind bars, the Menendez brothers may have a second chance at freedom. In November 2024, they are scheduled to appear in court for a hearing that could reopen the case, all thanks to newly surfaced evidence that casts their claims of abuse in a new light. And while this isn't the first time the brothers have sought to have their case reviewed, this time there are new voices, new evidence, and a new cultural context surrounding their defense. In the years following their conviction, the Menendez brothers maintained that they killed their parents out of fear for their lives. But the prosecution at their trial painted a much different picture, one of greed, a calculated plot to inherit their parents' wealth. According to prosecutors, the brothers were motivated by money, not fear. They pointed to the lavish spending spree that the brothers embarked upon shortly after their parents' deaths. New cars, expensive watches, trips abroad. It seemed to many that the brothers were celebrating their newfound freedom and wealth, not mourning the loss of their parents. But beneath the surface of this apparent greed, the defense argued, lay a much darker story. A story of two young men who had been subjected to years of psychological and sexual abuse at the hands of their father. The brothers testified in graphic detail about the abuse, alleging that Jose Menendez had molested them for years and that their mother, Kitty, had turned a blind eye, even when she wasn't actively emotionally abusing them herself. On the night of the murders, the brothers claimed they feared for their lives, believing their father was about to kill them to keep the abuse a secret. The first trial ended in a hung jury, with jurors deadlocked over whether the abuse allegations justified the brothers' actions. But in the second trial, the judge barred much of the evidence related to the abuse, and both Lyle and Eric were convicted of first-degree murder. The abuse defense, at least in the courtroom, had failed. For years, it seemed like the case was closed. The Menendez brothers would spend the rest of their lives in prison, their names forever associated with the brutal killing of their parents. But then, in 2023, new evidence emerged. Evidence that has the potential to change everything. The most significant piece of this new evidence is a letter written by Eric Menendez to his cousin in 1988, a year before the murders. In the letter, Eric described ongoing sexual abuse at the hands of his father. "I've been trying to avoid Dad," Eric wrote. "It's still happening, but it's worse for me now. I can't explain it." This letter, previously undisclosed, adds weight to the brothers' claims that they were acting out of fear when they killed their parents. But that's not all. Around the same time, Roy Rosello, a former member of the boy band Menudo, came forward with his own allegations against Jose Menendez. According to Rosello, Jose had sexually abused him when Rosello was a teenager and Jose was the head of RCA Records. Rosello's claims, which were aired in the Peacock documentary Menendez Plus Menudo, "Boys Betrayed, provide disturbing corroboration of the brothers' allegations. If Rosalo's account is to be believed, it suggests that Jose Menendez had a pattern of predatory behavior, one that extended beyond his own children. This new evidence has prompted Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon to announce that his office will review the Menendez brothers' case. In a press conference in October 2024, Gascon said that while none of the new information has been confirmed, the district attorney's office has a moral and ethical obligation to review it. "We're not at this point ready to say we believe or do not believe that information," Gascon said. "But we're here to tell you that we have a moral and ethical obligation to review what is being presented to us and make a determination." The November hearing could result in a number of different outcomes. If the court finds the new evidence compelling, the brothers' convictions could be vacated, meaning they could face a retrial. In such a scenario, the abuse defense would likely be front and center, with the new evidence playing a key role in the proceedings. Alternatively, the court could decide that the new evidence does not warrant a retrial but could allow for a reconsideration of the brothers' sentences. In a best-case scenario for Lyle and Eric, they could be released from prison after serving more than 3 decades behind bars. But there's also the possibility that the court will reject the new evidence entirely, leaving the brothers to serve out the rest of their life sentences. For the Menendez brothers, the stakes couldn't be higher. After 30 years in prison, this hearing represents a rare opportunity for redemption, a chance to have their story reconsidered by the courts and, perhaps, by the public. And while they have maintained their claims of abuse from the very beginning, it's only now, in the wake of the Thacker Me Too movement and a broader societal reckoning with sexual trauma, that many are willing to listen. The new documentary directed by Alejandro Hartman, The Menendez Brothers, has helped to fuel this reconsideration. Hartman, who approached the case from an outsider's perspective, having grown up in Argentina and with little prior knowledge of the trial, was able to bring a fresh perspective to the story. His film features extensive interviews with both Lyle and Eric, marking the first time that the brothers have spoken in such depth about their experiences since their conviction. For many viewers, this documentary offers a more nuanced understanding of the brothers' motivations and the trauma they claim to have endured. Hartman's approach to the documentary was to give both sides of the story equal weight. While much of the film focuses on the brothers and their version of events, Hartman also interviews key figures from the prosecution, as well as journalists and other observers of the case. "It's such a complex story," Hartman said in an interview about the film. "At some point, it doesn't matter who is right or who is wrong. It was a tragedy." The documentary delves deeply into the brothers' childhood, exploring the alleged abuse in detail. Both Lyle and Eric describe the emotional and physical torment they claim to have suffered at the hands of their father, and the conflicting emotions they felt toward their mother, who they say failed to protect them. For the brothers, their parents were both the source of their pain and, in a strange way, the objects of their love. This complexity is one of the central themes of the documentary, how the brothers could kill their parents and yet still profess to have loved them. For some, the documentary has been a turning point in how they view the case. Over the years, societal attitudes toward sexual abuse have shifted, and many who once dismissed the brothers' claims are now reconsidering their stance. The Dark Me Too movement, in particular, has brought greater awareness to the long-term effects of trauma and the ways in which survivors of abuse are often silenced or disbelieved. In this new cultural context, the Menendez brothers' defense seems less like an excuse and more like a possible explanation for their actions. Still, not everyone is convinced. The prosecution remains adamant that the brothers' primary motivation was financial gain, not fear of their father. Prosecutors have pointed to the brothers' extravagant spending in the months following the murders as evidence of their greed. New cars, designer clothes, expensive vacations. These were not the actions of two young men racked with guilt and trauma, the prosecution argued, but of two men who had just inherited a fortune and were enjoying it. The upcoming hearing in November 2024 will be pivotal in determining the brothers' fate. If the court finds the new evidence credible, it could lead to a retrial, where the abuse defense would likely play a central role. In a retrial, the brothers' lawyers would have the opportunity to present the letter and Rosselot's testimony as key pieces of evidence, bolstering the brothers' claims that they acted out of fear for their lives. The new trial would also likely take place in a much different cultural context than the original one, with jurors potentially more sympathetic to the brothers' claims of abuse. But the hearing could also go in a different direction. The court could decide that while the new evidence is compelling, it doesn't warrant overturning the original convictions. In that case, the brothers could face a resentencing hearing, where their lawyers would argue for a reduced sentence based on the new understanding of the abuse they allegedly suffered. In such a scenario, the brothers might not be fully exonerated, but they could still see their sentences reduced, opening the door for the possibility of parole. Of course, there's also the possibility that the court will reject the new evidence entirely. In that case, the brothers would remain behind bars, with little hope of release. After 30 years of incarceration, that would likely be a devastating blow for both Lyle and Eric, as well as for those who have been advocating for their release. It would mean that their claims of abuse, bolstered by new evidence and evolving societal attitudes, were not enough to shift the legal tide in their favor. If this happens, the brothers could very well spend the rest of their lives in prison, with their case closed for good. The complexity of the Menendez brothers' case is what makes it so compelling, even decades later. At its core, the case touches on issues that resonate deeply in today's society. The hidden horrors of sexual abuse, the long-lasting scars of trauma, and the question of whether violence can ever be justified as self-defense in the context of such abuse. But it also raises thorny questions about justice and accountability. Even if Lyle and Eric were abused, does that excuse the brutal killing of their parents? Or should they still be held accountable for taking two lives, regardless of the circumstances? These are the questions that will be at the heart of the November hearing. For the Menendez brothers and their supporters, the hearing represents a rare chance at redemption. A chance to finally tell their full story and to have the abuse they suffered acknowledged by the legal system. For the prosecution, it's an opportunity to reaffirm their original case, to argue that the brothers' actions were driven by greed and that justice was already served with their life sentences. But beyond the legal arguments, the hearing will also be a moment of reckoning for the public. Over the years, opinions about the Menendez brothers have shifted dramatically. In the 1990s, they were seen by many as spoiled rich kids who had murdered their parents for money. But as the abuse allegations have gained traction, public opinion has softened. More people are now willing to entertain the possibility that the brothers were not cold-blooded killers, but deeply traumatized young men who acted out of fear and desperation. The new evidence has also sparked a broader conversation about how the justice system treats victims of abuse, particularly men. In the 1990s, the Menendez brothers' claims of sexual abuse were met with widespread skepticism, and their emotional outbursts in court were often seen as manipulative. But today, we have a much deeper understanding of the ways in which trauma can manifest, and there is a growing recognition that male victims of sexual abuse have historically been underrepresented and often disbelieved. The hearing will also take place in the shadow of the Me Too movement, which has brought new awareness to issues of sexual violence and accountability. The movement has challenged long-held assumptions about who can be a victim and who can be a perpetrator, and it has led to a re-examination of many high-profile cases involving claims of abuse. For some, the Menendez brothers' case is another example of how our society has historically failed to take abuse claims seriously, particularly when they are made by men. For others, the case represents the dangers of using abuse as a justification for murder. As the date of the hearing approaches, the Menendez brothers' legal team is preparing to present their case, armed with the new evidence and the support of a growing number of advocates. Kim Kardashian, who has become a vocal advocate for criminal justice reform, has publicly expressed her belief that the brothers should be released. In an essay she wrote for NBC News in October 2024, Kardashian stated that while the murders were not excusable, the brothers' life sentences were too harsh given the circumstances of their abuse. "I have spent time with Lyle and Eric. They are not monsters," Kardashian wrote. "They are kind, intelligent, and honest men. I believe it is time for them to be released. Producer Ryan Murphy, whose Netflix series Monsters, The Lyle and Eric Menendez Story has brought renewed attention to the case, has also voiced his support for the brothers. Murphy has gone as far as to say that he believes the brothers could be released by the end of the year. We gave them their moment in the court of public opinion, Murphy said in an interview. I think they can be out of prison by Christmas. I really believe that. But not everyone shares this optimism. Some legal experts caution that the new evidence, while compelling, may not be enough to overturn the original convictions. They point out that the letter from Eric and the testimony from Roy Russolo, while significant, are not definitive proof of the brothers' claims of abuse. And even if the court finds the new evidence credible, it's unclear whether it will be enough to justify vacating the brothers' convictions or reducing their sentences. Ultimately, the November hearing will be a crucial turning point in the Menendez brothers' long and tumultuous legal journey. It will determine whether they will have a chance to rewrite their story in the eyes of the law, or whether their life sentences will remain unchanged. But regardless of the outcome, the hearing will undoubtedly reignite the debate about the intersection of abuse, trauma, and violence, and what justice truly means in cases as complex as this one. For Lyle and Eric Menendez, the stakes could not be higher. After more than 30 years of incarceration, this hearing may represent their last chance at freedom. For their supporters, it's a moment of reckoning, a chance to finally correct what they see as a miscarriage of justice. And for the public, it's an opportunity to reconsider a case that, while decades old, still resonates with the moral and legal dilemmas of today. The Menendez brothers' story is one of tragedy, trauma, and ultimately, violence. But it's also a story about the complexities of human behavior, about the ways in which abuse can warp even the closest relationships, and about the lengths people will go to in order to survive. As the hearing approaches, one thing is certain. The Menendez brothers' case will continue to captivate and divide, as it has for the past three decades. And while the November hearing may not provide all the answers, it will undoubtedly bring us closer to understanding the full truth of what happened on that fateful night in 1989.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.